pray for God's help, and then we'll look at that passage again together.
Our Heavenly Father, please would you teach us now as we look together at your word. Please fill us with excitement at the truth of why we're celebrating Christmas and what Jesus came to do. Amen.
Well, you might remember at the Christingle service, if you were there, we looked at that passage and the surrounding passages in Matthew chapter 1. And I said that we would think on the Christingle service about Jesus' majesty. And if you remember, the points were he's the king, he's God, so worship him. I won't get you to do the actions just at this moment, but you can do them later, maybe after lunch, get a bit of exercise going. So we thought about Jesus' majesty that time, and this morning we're thinking about Jesus' mission. And I'm afraid I'm not going to open them this time, but I've got those two presents over there, which are to help particularly the younger folks in the church family to try to remember why Jesus came, what his mission is. And therefore there are 2 points. And the first one is rescue. So the bigger of the two presents, when I open that up, there'll be a fireman's helmet in there, toy one, and some sweets, some Lifesaver sweets. Have you come across those? I think they're American sweets, but they're called Lifesavers. There you go. They don't actually, they're just sweets, so don't think they're going to do anything more for you than that. But they're called Lifesavers for some reason. And that's to help us to try to remember that, of course, Jesus came as our rescuer, and we see that in verse 21, don't we? So it says, she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. As we heard at the Carols by Candlelight service, the name Jesus means the Lord saves, or God saves. Interesting, isn't it, that, of course, every time anyone spoke to Jesus, called his name, they were saying, the Lord saves. That's why he'd come. He'd come to rescue us. That was his mission. And to rescue us from our sin is what it says there. And again, we're going to, I think it's such a helpful thing. I think it was Mark Roger who did this one. He may have got it from someone else. But that acronym for sin is shove off God, I'm in charge, no to your rules. Which sounds incredibly rude to God, doesn't it? But actually, that's what we do, and that's what sin is. It's us saying, shove off, God, I'm in charge, no to your rules. And the Bible says that's what we need rescuing from. And that's really important for us to remember, isn't it? That Jesus came, he came to save us, and he saves us by dying for us. And we've got to keep that central, because it's very easy in our thinking or in church life for other things to come more prominent, or to think that people need saving from something else more than they need saving from sin. And people have often said things like, if what we really needed as a human race was more knowledge, God would have sent a professor. If what we'd really needed was healing, health-wise, then he would have sent a doctor. If what we needed was psychological readjustment, then he'd have sent a psychiatrist. But he didn't. He sent a saviour who would die for us, which shows how serious sin is. We can downplay sin to thinking, oh, it's not that big a deal. But it is a big deal. It must be a big deal. If God thinks it's such a big deal, he needs to send his son for us. It is a big deal. And so, of course, we want to celebrate, because without Jesus, we wouldn't be saved. Without Jesus, we would still be in our sin. Without Jesus, we would be lost. And yet, Jesus came. Jesus, born of Mary, born 2,000 years ago, laid in the manger, our Saviour, our Rescuer, has arrived. And that is great reason to celebrate. Well, that's the first point, rescue. And the second point is rule. And you get that actually a little bit later on. I mean, you do get it in the first bit, and we thought about this last time in terms of majesty. And when I originally thought about this passage and thought majesty, mission, I was thinking there was a fairly clear divide between majesty, Jesus' kingship, and mission, Jesus coming to rescue us. But of course, there isn't really that divide at all. And so when you think about Jesus' mission, yes, he's come to rescue us. But interestingly, if you look down to verse 6, that this is after the Magi have come along and have inquired about where the king was to be born, and the chief priests have been and teachers of the law have been consulted, and they say, well, verse 5, in Bethlehem in Judea, they replied, for this is what the prophet has written. But you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for out of you will come a ruler who will be the shepherd of my people Israel. I wonder if you can guess, therefore, what's in the other box. You might be able to guess some of them. There's a crown, of course. There's a ruler. Sorry. And there's a sheep as well. Not a real one. Couldn't cram it in. But there's a toy sheep in there as well. And why those things? Well, obviously the crown, because he's a king, a ruler, because he's a ruler, and the sheep. It's interesting, isn't it, that in the prophecy there from Micah, it puts together the idea of being a ruler, being a king, and being a shepherd. Because we will tend to think that a ruler will be far off and distant, maybe very domineering. But of course, the way that Jesus is our king, yes, he will come in glory again, and he will, every eye will see him. But he also, as part of his kingly rule, he's a shepherd. He's a shepherd king. And the way that he shepherds his people is by dying for us, isn't it? We know that from John chapter 10, isn't it? Where he says, I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. You see, the way the king should always have been, the way the king of Israel should always have been, and sometimes was that they should have been the ones who sacrificed themselves for the people, to look after the people, to nurture the people, to provide justice, but to care for the people. Should have been a shepherd figure. And yet often they weren't. But yet Jesus is the perfect king who comes and as part of his kingly duty, he is a shepherd and he lays down his life for us. Now, we thought a little bit about this at the Chris Single one, obviously about Jesus' majesty and the fact that he is the king and we need to respond to him. I thought it was very interesting in a book I've been reading called Follow Me. Really helpful book. We might have it as our sort of focus book for the new year, trying to encourage more people to read it. One of the chapters in this book is called Don't Make Jesus Your Personal Lord and Saviour, which I think is quite a good title because it's provocative, isn't it? Because you think, how many times have you heard people say, yes, Jesus is my personal Lord and Saviour? And you need to make Jesus your personal Lord and Saviour. Now, there's some truth in there, obviously, that Jesus needs to be your Lord and your Saviour. But he highlights a problem with it, and it is this. Let me read just a paragraph from here. He says, this statement, the statement, make Jesus your personal Lord and Saviour, minimises the inherent authority of Jesus. Surely none of us can decide to make him Lord. Jesus is Lord, regardless of what you or I decide. The Bible is clear that one day every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. The question is not whether we will make Jesus Lord. The real question is whether you or I will submit to his lordship. And this is the essence of conversion. And I think that's a really helpful way of expressing it, of saying, it's not just about you and your relationship with Jesus. Jesus is Lord. He just is the King. He came to rule, and he is the ruler. He is the king. He's the king over nations where hardly anyone follows Christ. He's the king over Muslim nations, over Hindu nations, over every nation on the planet. He is the king, born on earth, yes, but king over the earth. And therefore, becoming a Christian is, as it were, to get yourself in line with reality, to recognize Jesus' lordship, the fact that he is king, and to live under Jesus as king. So, what's Jesus' mission? First, rescue, and second, rule. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you that Jesus came to be our rescuer and to be our king, to rescue and to rule. Father, we pray, please, that you would help those we know and love who don't yet submit to Jesus' kingship to bow before him, recognize he is the king, submit to his lordship, and to receive the rescue that Jesus brings, the rescue from sin. Father, up and down this country today, there will be many who will go to church, many who don't yet know Jesus. Please, would you work in their hearts to bring them to Christ. And we pray for our service this morning, later on. Please bring many who don't yet trust in Jesus, that they would hear the good news and believe. Amen.